All right, good welcome. Good evening, everyone. I'll come over here and try to so those online can see me. My name is Tim Guile, one of the guiding teachers here at Seattle Insight. And I just have a very warm welcome to Bhante. Thank you so much for coming and sharing the Dharma. And I'll just turn it over to you.
Okay, I hope all of you can hear me, those who are on the Zoom platform. Very good. So, good evening. Dhamma greetings to all of you. So, I'm going to begin this special mindfulness meditation session by paying respect and homage to the Buddha. So, I would like to recite Namo Tassa three times. And if you would like to pay respect and homage to the Buddha, and if you would like to recite Namo Tassa three times, maybe you can join me. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. I pay my respect and homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the fully enlightened Buddha. So thank you, Tim, for having us at this beautiful Seattle Insight Meditation Society. And in fact, I was very happy to know there is such a meditation center in Seattle. So Chandima, together with her husband Dayanta, and young devotee Gavish and his wife Buddhika invited me to attend an annual Katina ceremony of the Sarana International Buddhist Society. As I was coming here, they also wanted me to do a meditation session for the public. And that's exactly what I do, actually, wherever I travel to different cities. And in addition to those ceremonies, I always try to bring dharma and kindfulness practice to the people living in that city. So this is my second visit to Seattle, and first time I came, it was for a memorial service of a devotee who said goodbye to us 12 years ago, and that family is like our own family, called Kularatna family, and Mr. Ranjit Kularatna and his wife Shriya Kularatna and their daughter Kanchana with her husband Gagana invited me to come to Seattle. So that time I couldn't do this kind of program because they were busy with grieving, and so as these two families, Dayant and Chandima, Gavish and Buddhika, invited me to attend this annual Katina ceremony, they also got to know about what I do. So I think Chandima initiated the conversation with Tim and another person, Steve. Yeah, I think he's in India somewhere. Yeah. And that conversation led us to have this session this evening. So I'm very glad to be here among you, bringing the Dharma practice and kindfulness practice to our Dharma and kindful friends in Seattle area. So what I'm doing is, actually, I'm going to donate this to Seattle Insight Meditation Society for your library. The book I published last year, the title of the book is called Are You Kindful? So I have a kind of global mission that is to call every country a mindful and kind nation. So in Canada, I officially call Canada a mindful and kind nation. And I have registered that as a non-profit organization. And I'm popularizing and teaching a kind of therapy known as the kindfulness, which comes from two words, kindness and mindfulness. And I'm teaching kindfulness for health and wellness, especially to minimize the negativities in the world and to maximize the positivities in the world. And I believe this kindfulness practice could help everyone. And this is not a religious thing or cultural thing. I'm just telling people, you be whoever you are, you follow your own religious or spiritual tradition, you be with your own cultural values. But be mindful for the fact that we all are human beings. And as human beings, we have the power to make our life and the world a better place for everyone. And what we need is the kindfulness. So the kindfulness can be practiced in two steps. The first step is be mindful to be kind to yourself. So being kind to yourself, caring for yourself, is very important. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. We all know that. And the second step is be mindful to be kind to others. Then you have to, while you're being kind to yourself, at the same time, you can be kind to others. So, and of course, in this book, I'm telling a lot of stories, kindfulness stories, and how to cultivate this kindfulness principle, and how you can benefit. And of course, for me, I had amazing people in my life, amazing teachers. And especially in my childhood, it was my grandfather who was To my understanding, to my knowledge, he was very kindful. He was very generous, very kind to people. And he was a vegetable farmer. And then he had good understanding and feeling of the people in his village. And he knew which families were struggling. And then, even without being asked, he would go to that house, that family, and would drop some vegetables and think, this is for you. And at the time, I wasn't sure why my grandfather was doing that. But I remember him saying to me, or teaching me, he said, grandson, we should have a good heart for everyone. We should care for others. Not just you, your family, you have to care for others. And then I didn't realize the power of what he was teaching me. But then later on, I noticed my mother. I would say she was the symbol. It's a symbol of the love, and love in the sense wherever she goes. Whoever she encounters, she would just greet everyone with a smiling face. She would just ask, "How are you doing?" And so then after that, okay, be well, be happy. And then I noticed the same thing, even, of course, in my childhood. Then I left my parents when I became a novice monk. Then my teacher sent me to Sri Lanka. So then I did not get to see, or I did not have any interaction with my parents. But even in Sri Lanka, I was so fortunate to have a great, amazing monastic teachers. They were well known in the country. And our Sri Lankan friends would know his name, the most venerable Madihe Panya Sihe Mahanayaka Mahathera. He was the supreme patriarch of one Nikaya, the Sangha Nikaya in Sri Lanka. And then he had this kind of slogan, the motto, let's say, the slogan. In Sri Lankan language, in Sinhala, the slogan is called Miniha nohada ratahadanna bahe, miniha hada ratahadamo. So that means without correcting or fixing the man, the nation, the country cannot be corrected or fixed. Therefore, let's take the action to fix the man first, then let's fix the nation. When I heard that, again, I had no clue. But then I noticed that he was talking about this in every time he had a conversation with someone. And every time he delivered a talk, public talk, he would talk about this. Then later on, he encouraged us to do some charity work, compare the acts of kindness to those who were really struggling. And then he also encouraged us to practice meditation. He said, as monks, we have an ultimate spiritual goal. That goal is to end all forms of sufferings. So you can call it nirvana or nibbana, the end of sufferings. So while you're working hard to alleviate your own pain and suffering, at the same time, he said, be mindful to alleviate pains and sufferings of others. So, and then we started, as we were practicing, doing our Dharma practice, meditation practice, at the same time, we got socially engaged with some charity work. Like, we remember going to schools and encouraging the students to bring, those days, Sri Lanka had the civil war. There were a lot of displaced people suffering. And then, so we took the action to collect some items to help those displaced people in the country. So we asked the students to bring one item, that's one pen, one pencil, one pair of used shoes, or used clothes or whatever, and maybe a banana, some food or a cookie, and then guess what? You know, now if a school has about 5,000, 6,000 students, if every a student brings one item, there are a lot. So then we would distribute these items to those people. And at the same time, every Sunday, we also did a kind of a program called, in Sinhala we call Kiridana, the gift, giving the gift of milk. So we would go to a hospital with young people, boys and girls, and we would make milk tea, and then we would serve milk tea with some kind of biscuits, cookies, rich cookies. They were called, they still call, I think, they are called Mari biscuit. It's a rich, kind of rich cookie. So then we would just distribute the serve the tea with milk tea with Mari biscuits while the young people are serving them. And we monks would just do a kind of blessing, chanting, tying the blessing thread on the right wrist of the patients in the hospital. And then we started feeling the power of such kindness. Like, you know, those, we know though, we became mindful for the fact that these are the people who are suffering from particular sickness. And while the patient is in pain, and the patient family members are also in pain. And so when we do this act of kindness, going to them, it's not that they asked for such kindness, but we thought about it, we became mindful, and then we activated this kindness into action. Because having kindness in heart is one thing, and activating that kindness into action is another. Both are powerful. And for me, so having kindness in heart, for me, is good. But at the same time, when I activate that kindness, put that kindness into action, reaching out to someone who could benefit from my kindness is greater. And that's stronger, that's more powerful. So during my stay in Sri Lanka, I have been actually doing those acts of kindness. Every Sunday, going to the hospital, and then going from village to village and talking to the people, and then and helping people and teaching meditation. Because it was my first meditation teacher. He was a layperson. He founded a forest meditation center in Sri Lanka, located in a beautiful place, an area called Nilambe Meditation Center. And there are a lot of Westerners who go there for retreats. But as I talk about that lay meditation teacher, Mr. Gordon Samaratna, I would say he was one of the kindest human beings on earth. Always, you can see the smile on his face, soft voice, pure heart, and changing and transforming people's life through meditation. And he encouraged us. By then we were like little monks, maybe 11, 12-year-old monks, novice monks. And so he encouraged us to meditate. Of course, meditation is part of our monastic practice. We have been doing it since we became monks, like every day, in the morning and also in the evening. So we had to get up at 4:30 and we would do chanting. After chanting, we would do meditation, silent meditation. And in addition to these daily practices, our teachers sent us to forest monasteries for the 1 week meditation retreat or 1 month meditation retreat, and also for the 3 month meditation retreat. So we received those training, and then of course, although we were doing it by then, maybe because we were teen monks, we still did not feel the real essence, we did not see the real essence of meditation even those days. But I started seeing the essence of meditation, and I started feeling the real benefits of meditation when I came to Canada. And then I started conducting a weekly meditation session. The weekly meditation session that I started in 1995, I still continue doing it now. So how many years now? Now 29 years. And more than 29 years now. So I have benefited from such practice, and at the same time, I started sharing such techniques with the public. So in addition to our weekly sessions, then of course we go out and do such mindfulness sessions for the public in different places, and for the companies, and also for the individuals. And so we do offer these sessions in Europe, also here across North America. Now, the mindfulness meditation practice is good for everyone. Even the in 2016, when a group of Canadian police officers came to my center in Toronto for mindfulness meditation training, actually that program went viral. Even the CNN featured these pictures and talked about it. And the entire world became interested in this mindfulness meditation, not just for the public, but also especially for the police forces. And because of that, more people started coming to our center for training. Now, through mindfulness meditation teachings, I was able to save many lives of people who were suicidal. One of the stories has been featured by Canada's CTV National News. And I think it should be online if you Google the Buddhist monk who saved the young man's life. CTV National News, then that story will pop up. So, what is this sati? We call it sati bhavana, or mindfulness meditation. Now, when we talk about mindfulness, of course, the famous interpretation or definition was given by John Kabat-Zinn. Mindfulness practice means doing something consciously, on purpose, going from moment to moment. Although it is the definition or the interpretation given by John Kabat-Zinn is very good, but this is the mindfulness is the direct translation of the word we use. It's called sati. Now, there is a discourse of the Buddha It's called Maha Satipatthana Sutta. The discourse, the great discourse on the four foundations of mindfulness. So in that discourse, Maha Satipatthana Sutta is actually the manual of meditation practices, meditation techniques. So both samatha and vipassana. So here you call your society the Seattle Insight Meditation Society. So insight meditation is what we call vipassana bhavana. But then in order to really benefit from vipassana bhavana insight meditation has to be supported by the samatha bhavana, the tranquility meditation or calm meditation. So samatha means tranquility, calm. And so there are many techniques. So when we talk about this samatha bhavana found in the Satipatthana Sutta. So now, what is this sati? Although John Kabat-Zinn and others translated this as mindfulness, but I think they have missed the half of the meaning of this practice taught by the Buddha. So it's called Satipatthana. Satipatthana comes from three words. It's called Sati Upatthana. So Sati, let's say mindfulness or attention. And Upa means within or inside. And Thana means to place, to put. So what's the meaning of this Satipatthana? Again, let me tell you. So, sati means attention or mindfulness. Upa means within, inside. Thana means to put or place. So what's the meaning of this Satipatthana? What is it? Put the attention inside. Put the attention inside. Now why? Why do we have to put the attention inside? Now we know our attention is always outside. We put our attention always outside. We are interested in the external things. That's what we are chasing. Aren't we? We are chasing the things outside, believing the fact that that would make us happy. But then what happens is that when you put your attention outside, basically you're losing the energy. Physical energy as well as the mental energy. So you're wasting your energy. You're losing your energy. That's why people feel so tired at the end of the day. When you go to work, or when you start the day in the morning, and by the evening, then I'm exhausted, I'm tired. So then you want to go to bed, you want to sleep, right? So because we have lost all the energy. Because even driving around, doing the work and all these things. So, and at the same time, external, when you put your attention outside, you're not only losing the energy, but also the attention to the external things are also causing two things within us. Okay? So now I want to go a bit deeper. When you see something outside, when you put an attention there, and that could lead to two types of actions. Either you're going to like it or you're going to dislike it. What you like, you want it. What you dislike, you resist it. So when you like something, wanting it, is triggering something inside that is craving or desire or greed. You want more. One time is not enough. And if you dislike and resist something, then that resistance is triggering the anger to arise, aversion. So these two, greed and anger, are defiling the mind. So this is pretty deep. Now, how do we do this practice, Satipatthana practice? There's a story of a monkey. Monkey story. So Buddha tells this story. He said monks in the Himalayas, there is a region where only animals could live. And there's a region, there's no one can live. But then there's a region where both animals and the humans can live. So in that region, a hunter goes there with a trap to capture a monkey for monkey delight. And when this hunter goes there and he puts this kind of tar trap, a very shining one. Tar is a glue. Then in that around that area, on the trees, there are monkeys. All the monkeys saw this tar trap because with the sun ray, and it was shining. So all the monkeys were curious to know what is this all about. And there was some wise monkeys. Although they got excited for it, at the same time, they were very cautious. That could be a trap. But there was one monkey who couldn't resist that exciting thing. And he was going down. He was descending from the tree and going towards it. All the monkeys, wise monkeys, told him, don't go there, it's a trap. Don't go there. But this foolish monkey didn't listen to them. Now he went there and listened. So he saw this is a tar trap. And he touched it. When he touched it with his right hand, his right hand got stuck. Now he can't remove it. So to remove the right hand, he used the force of the left hand. When he touched the tartar with the left hand, it also got stuck. Now he cannot remove the hands. And then he used the right foot to remove the two hands, right foot also got stuck. And to remove the both hands and the right foot, he used the force of the left foot, that also got stuck. Now he's very upset, he's angry. So now I'm stuck, what can I do? No one is coming to help me. So he was asking for help, screaming for help. But other monkeys did not come to rescue him. They knew they are also going to get stuck there. So now all he had just the mouth. He used the force of the mouth to remove the hands and the leg. He got stuck with the mouth too. Now this monkey got stuck in completely. Meantime, the hunter was watching all this. When the monkey got completely stuck, the hunter came and easily picked it up and took it to his house for monkey delight. So then, Buddha said, monks, who is this monkey? And who is this hunter? He said, hunter is the Mara, the evil one. Now, well, and the who is this Mara? Mara is nothing but all the problems, all the sufferings, pains. He's the creator of all this. So, the monkey who got stuck with hands and the feet and the mouth, this represents the five sense faculties: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. So, when we look outside with eyes, when we see things, we get stuck with the eye object. When we listen or hear through the ears, we get stuck with the ear object. Or whatever you heard, maybe good or bad, you get stuck with that. And whatever you smell through the nose, you get stuck with the nose object. Whenever you taste something, the tongue, you get stuck with the tongue object. Whenever you experience through the body, and then you get stuck with the body object. So the Buddha said, monks, you should know what is your right zone to be for your safety. Now, the monkeys on the tree, he said, that is your right zone. But when you see something exciting, be mindful not to get caught to it, he said. There's a possibility of falling into the traps. So, in meditation, let's say it could be insight meditation or tranquility meditation, mindfulness meditation, we should be mindful of what are the traps, what is the unsafe zone, and what is the safe zone for us. So let's say the past is the unsafe zone for us. Future is unsafe zone for us. And the present moment is the safe and green zone for us. Past, future, these are the red zones. Present is the green zone, safe zone for us. So, then in this mindfulness meditation, especially we name this as Sati Bhavana for health and wellness. So our physical health, our emotional, psychological, mental health, and well-being depends on how we interact with the society through these sense faculties. So we have to be mindful. Every time our mind visits something in the past, and of course the mind is stuck there. Sometimes it's very stubborn, like that monkey. He was very stubborn, he didn't listen. But our mind is also like that stubborn monkey. Always visits something that already happened. And then it's also stubborn, projecting that into the future. So then that causes anxiety, a lot of stress. And the when the mind is stuck with the, in the past, that causes a lot of sadness and a lot of pain and suffering. So the Buddha said, monks, if you want to end the suffering, if you want to experience your health and wellness in a peace and in a happiness, train your mind to be right here now in the present moment. So this is basically in line with modern psychology and psychoanalysis. Psychoanalysis. That is, there is a form of therapy called the shifting attention. So our attention is always stuck outside, the past and future, and all the objects outside. And now we have to train the mind to come home, inside. This is also in line with another story I tell the people. That's the story of the turtle and the fox. Actually, I told this story to a group of kids last Sunday. They really loved it. And I have been telling this story for a long time. So for you, maybe you have heard about it, maybe you haven't. But I would like to retell this story now. So there was the turtle. He was hungry, and he was searching for food by the bank of a river. And at the same time, a fox who was also hungry, and he came out from its den searching for food. The fox saw the turtle, and he was very happy. He said, I got a good food. I'm going to get that turtle. With this in mind, he started aiming. The turtle also saw the fox. He said, that's my enemy. He saw me, now he's coming to get me. What can I do? I don't want to be his victim. I don't want to die. I want to live. Shall I run? So running is not going to help. Fox can run faster. So how can I save myself? And then it immediately became mindful. I have my hard shell. If I go inside my own hard shell, this fox won't be a match for me. He can't do anything. So he was relieved. And then fox came closer and jumped to catch the turtle. And the turtle withdrew, went inside its own hard shell. Now fox was hovering around. Any moment it puts the head or any limb outside, I'm going to catch it and tear it off and eat it up. But the turtle noticed, I'm safe here, although I'm hungry. But at this point, saving my life is more important than risking my life going outside. And it remained inside the shell calmly and patiently. And then the fox got tired of hovering, and at the end of the day, it abandoned the mission. It left the place. When the fox was gone, the turtle realized, I'm safe to come out now. My enemy is gone. It's safe. So then it came out and started searching for food again. So I tell this story to teach the people the essence of mindfulness meditation. So in this story, we need to be mindful. Who is this fox? Could be physical fox, could be some terrible people in our life who are giving us hard time. And then there are emotional, psychological foxes. They are daily stress, anxiety, depression, sadness, grief, fear, guilt, pain, suffering. When such foxes come to attack you, what do you do? Be mindful to become a turtle. Go inside your own hard shell. So, if you're not being mindful of the fox, then the fox is going to easily attack you, destroy you. So this, the stress, anxiety, depression, sadness, grief, fear, guilt, they also could destroy us. Then to defeat, overcome these foxes, then we have to be mindful to become a turtle. So this is what Buddha called the Satipatthana practice. So again, Sati means attention or mindfulness. Upa means inside, within. Tana means to keep up, to put. So put your attention inside. Or bring your mind inside. Bring your attention to the present moment. So when you're here in the present moment, there are many techniques. To first, we need to we practice this sati, sati bhavana, first to relax the body, to calm the mind, and to purify the mind. So relaxing the body is very important first. Calming the mind is very important before we purify the mind. So then there is a technique that I have been teaching the people. That technique is called SSMK practice, meditation practice. SSMK. The first S stands for slowly. And second S stands for silently. M stands for mindfully. And K stands for kindfully. So when you do this anapanasati meditation technique, breathing in, breathing out, so the breathing exercise. So you have to learn this art of breathing. So SSMK is an art of breathing. So when you go inside your own heart shell, the present moment, now train your mind to be mindful of the breath. So then, without rushing, breathe in and out slowly, just like the turtle. The turtle walks slowly. It takes time, but steadily. And it keeps moving forward. So then you just breathe in, breathe out, slowly. Maybe it's like watching the waves in the ocean, how waves just arise, you know, and pass away. They just come and go, rise and fall, rise and fall. So you just watch the breath. You know, do that slowly. And then as you keep breathing in and out slowly, at the same time, train your mind to breathe in and out silently. So ask your mind to be silent, quiet. And then watch the breath with 100% silence. Now, why? So now the thing is that when you breathe in and out slowly, it helps your body to relax. And when you train your mind to breathe in and out silently, it helps your mind become still. So the still mind is the fountain of joy, happiness, and peace. And then when we say mindfully, then of course you need to pay your 100% attention to this. So be mindful to breathe in and out slowly. Be mindful to breathe in and out silently. And then be mindful to breathe in and out through the nose. Be mindful to follow the breath all the way in, all the way out. Got it? And when you keep doing this, and then you have to add some a lot of kindness into the practice. So allow, as you breathe in and out, allow yourself to be soft, gentle, and kind. Give an assurance to yourself, everything will be all right. Just breathe and relax. Breathe and relax. So when we say breathing in and out kindfully, it is like, you know, how the children hold the teddy bears with so much care and love, and they fall asleep. So when you meditate, you have to assume the fact that your body is the teddy bear. So mentally, you have to embrace your own self, the body, with so much care, so much love and kindness, and with full of kindness, you just breathe in, breathe out. Maybe you could add some words into this. So I normally teach people to say some kindfulness sentences, like when you breathe in, just say, may I be. Breathe out, well. Breathe in, may I be. Breathe out, happy. Breathe in, may I be. Breathe out, peaceful. Breathe in, may I be. Breathe out, free. So it's kind of rhythm. You have to find a rhythm there. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. So if you could do this practice, that's breathing in and out slowly, silently, mindfully, and kindfully for 15 to 20 minutes. At the end of it, you'll see a huge change in your body and the mind. You feel relaxed. This is a way of releasing the stress and tension built up and freeing yourself from such negative experiences. And then becoming free. Yeah? So in this way, you can really benefit a lot of things. You know, there are a lot of benefits. Okay, so this is the introduction to Sati Bhavana practice for health and wellness. And maybe we can practice it, right, for half an hour. And after that, if you have questions, maybe we can discuss. Or do you want to ask questions now? But if you ask questions, then we get into this conversation, it goes on and on, we might miss the practice of meditation, right? So let's practice meditation first, right? Okay, so I know we have our Dhamma friends who joined us online. So you're sitting on the sofa and the chairs. Even if you feel like you can lie down actually on the sofa, I just want you to be very comfortable. And so wherever you are, assume a very nice and comfortable posture for meditation, either sitting posture or lying down posture, or whatever posture is good for you, feel free to assume that posture. But if you would like to meditate like the Buddha, feel free to assume a lotus posture or half lotus posture or general sitting posture. Now you could rest your hands on your lap, right hand on the left one. And you also could have either your back straight or just lean against the chair. Now slowly close your eyes. Now you can withdraw your attention from the past, from the future, from everything you have been doing all day today, and you could give a very kindful invitation to your mind, to the present moment. Come home. Your home, the present moment, is the safe place for you to be. And you also could allow yourself to become a turtle, seeing the foxes in the environment, seeing the danger outside. Now, allow yourself to go inside your own hard shell, just like the turtle. That's your safe zone. That's the green zone. No one can harm you if you stay in this green zone. As you remain inside your own hard shell, take a deep breath and let your whole body relax. If you like, you can take another deep breath, this time through the nostril. Hold the breath for a few seconds, then slowly let it out through the nostril. Let the whole body go into relaxation. Now kindly remind yourself, I'm practicing meditation not just for the physical relaxation and mental calm, but also for inner peace, inner happiness, health and wellness. With this noble intention in mind, and see whether you can be grateful for this wonderful opportunity to practice meditation with this Seattle Insight Meditation Society, the community, the mindful and kindful community. See whether you can really appreciate what you have learned and this practice. Let the mind and heart become full of feelings of gratitude. Let such feelings of gratitude overflow in your heart and mind and reach out to every part of your body. Let the whole body and mind become an embodiment of gratitude. Now make a determination, no matter what happens, I'm going to go from moment to moment, consciously, on purpose, and I'm going to meditate like a forest meditating monk. With this determination, you can listen to the sound of the meditation bell and let yourself remain grounded in this moment. Now slowly and gently bring your full attention to the ingoing and outgoing breath. Keeping your mind in between the nose tip and upper lip, let the mind watch and feel the breath entering and leaving through the nostril. Just breathe in, breathe out with 100% attention. And relax. 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 As you breathe in and out with 100% attention, at the same time, allow yourself to breathe in and out slowly. There's no rush. Take your time and find your own pace. This is not a race. With your own pace, breathe in, breathe out, slowly, and relax. As you keep breathing in and out, slowly and mindfully, at the same time, allow yourself to breathe in and out silently. See whether you can breathe in and out with 100% silence. Let the silent mind watch the breath going in, going out. And relax. As you keep breathing in and out silently, also be mindful to add kindness into the practice. Be gentle, kind, and soft. No need to be hard on yourself. Everything will be all right. Just breathe in, breathe out with a heart full of kindness and love for yourself. And you could simply reinforce love by saying those kindful phrases. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. Just keep breathing in and out, slowly, silently, mindfully, and kindfully. Keep relaxing. you can slowly come out from meditation, and if you wish, you could stretch your legs and hands and relax. Anyways, it's 9:17, so I don't want to keep you up here. And thank you, Tim, for allowing us to have this session here, and also inviting your friends and student members. And also thanks to Chandima for initiating this conversation. And we had people online, we had people in person, and so this was amazing. So I'm very grateful to all of you, and thank you for coming. So I would like to give some blessings to all of you for your health and wellness. And after that, we will take a group picture. Don't go. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te. By the grace and power of the Noble Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, may you all be well, happy, and peaceful. May you all be free from all sufferings and pains. May no harm come to you. May no difficulties come to you. May no problems come to you. Finally, may you all experience the happiness, the bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So thank you so much, and good night to our online friends. I will see you all when I come here next time for more programs. I'm hoping to see you in person, and very happy to see smiling faces on the screen. So be well. Good night.